Well, guys, yeah, welcome to Grow Track 3. What in the world, man? It's been a, there we go, Alyssa's coming through. Well, guys, welcome back. It's been what? Let's see, the end of April, so 4 long months, about 4 months that we've been together. What I was just realizing, I was trying to think back to Grow Track 2, and if you guys are sitting in the same tables that you were, Grow Track 2, which is totally fine, but I started looking around, I'm like, I think they're all sitting together just like they were in Grow Track 2, which is totally cool. There's nothing wrong with that. So, well, guys, welcome. I'm so glad that you guys are here. Can I just tell you, I've been so excited about Grow Track 3. It's one thing to go from Grow Track 1, go through the holidays, you know, 6-8 weeks, and then jump right into our spring semester. This time we had to wait 4 months, and so I was kind of bummed, man. I've been excited to be with you guys, and it's going to be an incredible 12 weeks that I believe is going to go by faster than we realize, but it's going to be an incredible fall semester, and guess what? You guys are guinea pigs again, right? Yay! You guys will forever always be the guinea pigs of Grow Track. Grow Track 1, 2, and now 3. And so we're just so excited that you guys are here. Hey, just want to remind you, just as you did last semester and the semester before, we hope that you've been able to sign in. There's a couple sheets there on your table. The table host will help you with that. If you're a table host, would you raise your hand? There you go. These guys are going to be your table host over the next 12 weeks. Hi, Candace. You got those? Poor Big Candace. Hey, I want all of you, real quick, to just give the biggest hand you can for Candace Bergman. It's not just because she's carrying chairs. This lady, she's my assistant. She's our groups coordinator, our care coordinator. She has worked so hard over the last few months. I mean, when it comes to getting groups ready and the semester ready, getting this ready, I was part of Grow Track 1 and 2, but this is the first time that Candace and I were coaches for it. And so we're kind of getting to see all the ins and outs of Grow Track 3 this semester. And so, but she has worked so hard and just thankful for her and all the hard work that she's done. And, again, just a couple quick things. Just like last semester, you want to sign in if you haven't done so already. I know you signed in as you came in, got a name tag, but also you want to sign in at the table there. Hopefully you were given a binder. Did everybody receive a binder? Okay, maybe Gina, would you mind helping me with that? Just grabbing some extra binders. And raise your hand, she'll make sure you get one. And then right in front of you at the table is your student notes. Just like last semester, you can go ahead and pop those in. And that's week one. And so it looks like we need about 4 or so. And so those are going to be there every week. You keep the binder with you, but the notes will be here for you as you arrive each week. And again, you're guinea pigs. It's a rough draft. A Grow Track 2 next door to us, they get a cool little binder. They get a cool little booklet, right? Because it's already all been done, right? And Grow Track 1, they get the cool booklet. And that group will come in here next. So you're never going to get the booklet. But nobody can say they got the binder, right? And so you guys are special. Yes, that's right. Awesome. Well, cool. I want to encourage you guys as well to bring your Bibles every week. It looks like most of you guys did that. If you don't have one, you'd like one. They're right on the table there if you need one for tonight. We are going to read through some scriptures here in just a minute. But I encourage you to bring your Bible each week, and we're definitely going to use it each week. And let me do this. Let me just take a few minutes and explain to you guys what's unique about Grow Track 3. And, you know, Grow Track 1, one great way to put it, Grow Track 1, Grow Track 2, Grow Track 3. Grow Track 1 is kind of planting the seed, right, in a sense, right? You think of a plant growing, Grow Track. It's planting that seed, the seed being watered, and it beginning to take root, right? You learn a lot of great foundational things in Grow Track 1. And then as you transition from Grow Track 1 to Grow Track 2, it's that plant begins to grow, right? And in an individual's life, in your life, in any individual's life. So excited for the ones that are right on the other side of this wall with Jeremiah and Megan Campbell. And that plant's going to begin to grow if it hasn't already. And Grow Track 3, though, is about pruning. It's about cutting off what's good so that what's great can grow. Does that make sense to you guys? Really, the tagline, the focus, I say tagline, it's more than that. It is literally the focus of who we are in Grow Track 3. And this just came out of a meeting with Pastor Talia and I when we were really talking and thinking about how will Grow Track 3 be you know, very different from Grow Track 1 and Grow Track 2. And it's this: living deep lives of obedience that cost us something. Okay? Now, some of you might be like, okay, like that's a little heavy. It is. But I don't want you to look at that as a oh my goodness, what's about to happen. Look at it in a positive way. Like, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And I was meeting with our team a couple weeks back, and there were a couple verses that I was praying about for Grow Track 3. And one of them was Mark chapter 8. And this is the one that I really landed on, a familiar passage, two verses from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. And then he called to the crowd, to him along with his disciples, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." And I love that. And I love that verse being wrapped up in what we feel God has called Grow Track 3 to be all about. And I just am so just anticipating what God's going to do. You know, when I think about this, there's this idea of pruning, right? I think of when I was a younger kid, my grandmother, she had a crepe myrtle tree in her yard. Anybody know what a crepe myrtle tree looks like, what that is? And what'd you say? That's right. If you grew up in Southeast Texas or East Texas, you got to know what that is. But she loved this tree. And I remember being much younger, going out in the front yard, and it was that time of the year where she had the shears and the pruning shears, and she was going to start pruning and cutting back this crepe myrtle tree. And she began to do that. It was, and I thought, what are you doing? Why are you cutting this back? Why are you cutting it? And I remember her saying those very words to me. She was like, "These are beautiful, this is good, but at the end of the day, we want to cut the good so that something even greater will grow down the road." And that's what I believe God wants to do in your life and in my life as we go through this. And hey, I'm going through it with you, and I'm so excited. And so that's what distinguishes Grow Track 3 from Grow Track 2 and Grow Track 1. And just cannot wait to see what God's going to do. And we're going to talk about some other things. You're going to have a Bible reading plan, but I'm going to save that towards the end to talk with you about that. Pastor Talia is running all over the place tonight. I think she's on a skateboard. Not really. Or maybe roller skates. But she's starting in Grow Track 2. And then she's going to come and join us. And she's going to do a portion of the teaching tonight. So I'm really excited about that. Love tag teaming with her. We're going to do that a lot of different weeks. Some weeks it'll be me. Some weeks it might be her. Some weeks we might tag team. Just kind of like we did last semester. But she's going to join us in a little while. And then after she's done, she's going to take off and she's going to go to Grow Track 1 and talk to them. So because she's got to be in all three places tonight. So she's going to be moving around quite a bit. But we thought, we really believed, you know, as we start this idea of living deep lives of obedience that cost us something, where are we going to start? Where are we going to begin? And so that's where I want to transition and jump right into tonight's teaching. And that is mastering the art of abiding, okay? And I'm going to read from John chapter 15. Here it's in your notes. You can open up your Bible and read it along with me if you'd like to. But let me say this. John chapter 15 is a passage of scripture that growing up in church, I'd heard many times. I've heard it preached on, read it. It was always a powerful passage. But a little over about 2 years ago, I heard a guy preach on this passage. And man, it gripped me. It just got a hold of me, this idea of abiding in Jesus. His name's Dick Brogdon. He's a missionary, Assembly of God missionary, and he's been a missionary for over 20 years in some of the toughest parts of the world, in Northern Africa, some very closed countries, and he's done a lot of ministry in some of those locations, some of those places. And I mean, it's been incredible, just the stories that he has. But he preached on that, and this idea of John chapter 15. And ever since then, I began to just study this passage and read it and read it and read it, especially about a year and a half ago. And it's just meant a lot to me. So I was super excited when Pastor Talia started writing the content. She said, "Hey, week one's going to be about abiding." And she goes, "I want you to kick that off." And so I'm excited to read this passage with you guys and get started here tonight. So let's read it. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. So you guys have it in your notes there. It's in two different versions. I'll read the top version first. It says, "Abide in me, There it is. Abide in me and I in you. Okay? And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. One thing, before I jump and finish the rest of it, I just want you guys to know that this is important because these are some of the last words that Jesus speaks to the disciples before, in a very short time, he's going to be arrested and handed over to the authorities, and he's going to go to the cross, right? So he's spending his last few moments with the disciples, and he's telling them some of the most important things that he wants them to know, okay? And this is part of that. But he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And so he's using this imagery, just like I said, the crepe myrtle tree, right? But he's speaking in their context of kind of a grape vineyard, if you can imagine, these trees that produce grapes and the vines that are entangled in the branches that produce these grapes, this fruit, right? It says, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. So Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. Who's the gardener? God, right? He's the gardener, right? Jesus is the vine. We're the branches, okay? It goes on to say, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And that statement there, that kicked me in the teeth a little bit when I first read that about a year and a half ago. I'd never noticed that like I did. And I feel like the Lord said to me, you know what, Stephen, even as a minister, who do you think you are that you can minister, that you can be the dad, the father, the husband, the counselor when you sit in your office and people come to you with all kinds of needs? Who do you think you are that you can be any of that apart from me, right? Because apart from him, if I'm not attached to the vine, I'm nothing. I'm not who he called me to be and what he desires me to be, right? I am nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In the message, I love to read the message sometimes when I'm reading a scripture, studying, whatever. Sometimes I'll pull out the Message Bible. And let me read it in the message just below that. It's in your notes. Live in me. So again, there's that word. There's some versions, even some of your Bibles in here might say remain, right? But it's the same idea. There's abide in me, remain in me, live in me. They're all kind of meaning the same thing there. It says, live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. There it is again. Separated from him. Guys, we're not who God called us to be. We're not at our full potential. We've not even touched it, right, apart from him. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Love that passage, okay? So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to jump in. If we're going to talk about living lives of deep obedience, it really begins with abiding in him, abiding in Jesus. So let's break this down a little bit, okay? What abiding is, you know, what's interesting is Jesus is obviously trying to get something across to us because just in this chapter, chapter 15, John uses the word abide 10 times, right? I think he's trying to tell us something. I think Jesus is trying to tell us something in this chapter. John uses the word, the root word for abide is meno, right? M-E-N-O, right? There's this idea that the root word is meno, and it's used 118 times in the Bible. 118 times, okay? And this is just, these aren't in your notes. So just a couple things that I'm adding to it, okay? And we'll get to the notes here in a minute. It's intensive in origin, which means there's a deeper meaning to it than what is often thought of or used, okay? It's kind of like the idea, much like the way we use the word love. What is something that you guys really love? Just go ahead and speak it out. What's something that you really love?
Family.
Your family? Motorcycles, okay, family. Chocolate, I heard chocolate over here somewhere. Ice cream, scuba diving. Golfing? Did you say coffee or golfing?
Coffee.
It's like, I hate golf. I'm just going to say it. I'm like, I really don't like that game. I love sports, but I do not like golf. Don't tell Pastor Alvin, but I just don't. Go ahead. Jesus, man. Dan, you're the guy that would do it, you know, and say Jesus. You're so good, man. What about over here? Anything you love? Ice cream. I've heard two for ice cream. Praise the Lord. Right? Okay. Your dog? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, we use that word, right? That this word love. And, you know, I can say I love my wife, absolutely love my wife and my children, but I also love Dr. Pepper. I really love, I love ribeye steak, right? If it's cooked perfectly, I love some ribeye steak. Now, obviously, I love my wife and my children a whole lot more than I love Dr. Pepper and ribeye steak or ice cream or chocolate or any other things that we mentioned. And, but the thing is, the word was meant to mean something much deeper and more meaningful, right, than how we tend to use it from day to day. It's okay to say we love those things, but obviously we love our spouse or we love our families and we love Jesus, I hope, you know, in a completely different way than we love those other things, right? And this root word, meno, abide, is the same idea there. It's got this deep meaning to it, okay? Meno means to continue in a place, to remain stable or fixed in a state, right? To remain, right? To endure, to wait for. How many of you love to wait and be patient for someone or even God for that matter, right? We don't like to do that, but that's what this idea is all about. I love this, to be held and kept continually, right? To be held and kept continually. I want to be in the type of loving relationship with my Heavenly Father that I don't mind being held and kept continually in that spot. But I tell you what, I'm guilty. I'll be the first one to raise my hand that I'm just too dang busy sometimes. And I don't allow that to happen. But I want to. I want to get to a different place. And you know what, guys? Grow Track 3 is about that. So be ready. You know, it's about if we'll commit to it, we'll have those opportunities, okay? So now we're going to jump into your notes. I apologize that it took a little bit, but here we go. We're going to jump into the notes. There are five different Greek words for the word abide, and we're going to look at those. This is the first one up on the screen, epimeno, okay? Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. Epimeno. Perseverance in continuing to do something. There's this idea that you're continuing to do something, okay? What this shows me is that we practice His presence. Do we really do that? Do we really have that type of loving relationship with Jesus that we practice His presence and there's this continually, we continually abide in Him? Then there's another one, it's called katmino, and that's the next slide, and it's constant residence, frequent resort. I like that, right? Six Trellwood Court, that is my residence. That's where I live, right? That's my home. You can come by anytime and say hi. But that's my residence, right? That's where I reside. That's where I live. And there's this idea of abiding that we would reside in this one place, reside with Jesus and be with Jesus on a continual basis, not just every once in a while, right? To abide is to reside. And then paramino is the next one. To continue, used to express confidence and abiding with a person, okay? There's this confidence, right? Obviously, hopefully, we have this confidence in who Jesus is and what He has done for us and all that we've learned about Him in Grow 1, Grow 2, and over our lifetime for some of us. He is faithful. He is true. We can have confidence in Him. And if I've got confidence in Him, why would I not want to abide in Him as often as I can? The next one is hupomeno. To remain in a place instead of leaving it, to persevere, right? There's this idea when you're abiding in Jesus, instead of leaving that place, You just want to, you want to be there at all times. You want to persevere. In other words, you want to persevere through the tough times, through the difficult moments when you don't want to abide, when you do want to just walk away or give up, right? No, you want to persevere through that. And then finally, the fifth Greek meaning of this is prosmeno, persistent loyalty or continuance in doing something. There's this loyalty. Jesus has been loyal to me. He's been loyal to you. Why can't we be loyal to him and spending just such extravagant time with Jesus? Okay? Good stuff. Very good stuff. So that's some of the root words, Greek words for that. Let's look at what, at the next slide, what abiding is not. Okay? Let's make it real clear to us what abiding is not. The first thing is it's not visiting. Right? There are those family members that you want to only see occasionally. Let's just be honest, right? We all have that uncle that we're like, thank you, Lord, that only on the third Thursday of the month of November every year at Thanksgiving is when I see this joker, right? I don't know if you have an uncle like that or a family member like that. Let's just be real. We're in Grow Track 3 now. We can speak honestly, right? That's a good point. That's a great point, Jeremy. But there's this idea of visiting. Right? That's not abiding. Abiding is not just visiting. It's not just visiting occasionally. Abiding with Jesus is continual. It's consistent. It is all the time, right? It's making your residence there, right? Another thing that it's not is it's not dropping by, right? Just dropping by what? This shows no consistency. And when we abide in Jesus, there's this idea of consistency. Right? We don't just drop by when it's convenient. Although that's probably how we treat our time with Jesus sometimes. Is we just drop by when it's not so busy this week, or oh, I finally had some time to make this happen. I just dropped by, like we dropped by to see a friend, right? It's not that. We want consistency. Another thing that it's not back and forth. It's not back and forth. What does this show to us? This shows no commitment. Right? Back and forth shows no real commitment. And I tell you what, Jesus showed such commitment to us. And so much, I mean, he went and died for us. That shows some serious commitment. Couldn't we show some commitment to him instead of being back and forth in our time with him and abiding with him? Another thing that abiding is not is it's not temporary, right? Temporary shows no discipline. It shows no discipline. That's not always a fun word, right? Discipline. But there's something about that. The discipline of abiding in Jesus and spending time with him on a consistent basis. Man, we truly grow and we learn so much and God shows us so much. Discipline leads to desire, which leads to delight. And if we will walk through the discipline, right? If we will be consistent and just show up even when it's hard, and that discipline becomes natural to us, it turns into a delight. My prayer is that all of us in this room, it's a delight to get up earlier. It's a delight to cut off and stop doing certain things so that I have more time to be with Jesus, right? Okay. Another thing is it's not giving up. It's not giving up. You know, we can commit all we want to spending time with Jesus, but a lot of times we just give up. There's a lot of different reasons for that, right? We're exhausted. We're tired. We are going through a difficult season. But abiding in him is not giving up due to being tired or waiting, or tired of waiting, right? You know, and so some of you may be walking through that. You're waiting on the Lord for a decision. You're waiting on the Lord to show you your next step or whatever. Don't give up. Continue to abide in him, right? So those are some things that abiding is not, okay? What about what abiding adds to the life of all of us? What it adds to the life of a Christian? Okay. The first thing is it adds deeper connection to God. By abiding in him, it adds to this connection. Guys, look, here's the deal. The enemy, he would love to take out your communication with him, with the Lord. He wants to take out that connection, right? He wants to take out the communication because he knows that the more time you're connected, the more time you're in communication with him, the better you understand his voice. You hear it daily, and not just in the morning, not just at night, but throughout the entire day. The enemy does not want that. But the more time you hear his voice and there's this connection, then all those other voices begin to drown out because you hear his voice so clearly and there's this intimate connection to God. But it has to come through consistent abiding in him, consistent time with him, right? Number two, it adds greater peace and joy. Anybody want greater peace and joy? I know I do. You know, when I don't spend that significant, extravagant time with Jesus on a consistent basis, I'm filled with a whole lot more worry, a whole lot more doubt and concern and fear about things, you know, about my finances or about my kids or about whatever it might be. There's something about that greater peace that I get and that joy when I'm consistently meeting with Jesus. And it doesn't mean that life isn't challenging. It doesn't mean that my day isn't hit with some challenges here and there. But I know that I'm in the safety of God's hands and there's no other place I want to be. It gives me peace and joy because I have met with him on a daily basis and abided in him. You know, when I drop my kids off at school every morning, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in today's world, there's a worry there. But at the end of the day, I trust my kids in the safety in the hands of my Heavenly Father, you know, and there's peace and joy there because as long as I'm connected to him and abiding in him, there's that greater peace and joy. Number three, there's an abundance of fruitfulness in our lives as well. It talked about that, right, in the scripture. There is this idea that when we are connected to the vine, we're going to produce fruit. We're going to produce greater fruit. And sometimes God prunes and he cuts off what's good so that we can have what's even greater, right? There can be this greater crop of fruit. And there's this fruit that's evident in our life if we will just continually abide in Jesus, right? There's that self-control. There's that kindness and goodness and faithfulness in our life, okay? So these are things that are added to our life through abiding. So how do we master the art of abiding in a chaotic culture? It's a chaotic culture, isn't it? I mean, it's just busy. It's crazy. Chaotic in so many different ways. Let me ask you this question. What are some adversaries to abiding? You're going to see some on the screen, so you're going to be able to cheat a little bit. But distractions, right? What else? Well, cool. So we were talking, again, I know they're on the screen, but what again are some adversaries to this idea of abiding in Jesus? We mentioned distractions. Is there anything else?
Job.
What's that?
Job.
Your job? Yeah, absolutely.
Kids.
Yes.
Disappointments.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And what about excuses? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the one I thought about, unfortunately, you know. Anything else?
Health.
Yeah, definitely. Well, here's some other things too. Number one, avoid these adversaries. Number one, or underneath that is apathy. Right? Apathy can be such an adversary to it. You just get tired or you just get, you know, let's be real. Let's be honest. There's been moments probably in your relationship with the Lord that you kind of had to press through that moment. You had to press through that season, right? I deal with that. Maybe you have with new believers at times, man. They get on this high and all these things are incredible and great. And a month later, 6 months later, a year later, they kind of hit this roadblock of kind of some apathy, right? And that can be a major adversary to abiding in Jesus. Anger, right? Yes, sir.
I can just give a little illustration.
Absolutely.
When I was in Bible college, everybody had jobs and I didn't have jobs. And I was driving down Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, California one day. And I was mad. I was angry at God. I said, God, I'm mad at you. I said, everybody's got a job and I don't have any. I said, why can't you give me a job? Well, guess what? The next day I had two jobs.
Nice. There you go. He took care of that for you, didn't he? That's great. That's great. But I think, you know, that's right. So apathy, anger, all your to-dos, any crazy families in here? Like, you know, just, man, I tell you what, busy families.
Out so I can
Right. Absolutely. But that's so true. I mean, that's how busy our and chaotic our world is, you know, and you don't have to have young kids to experience that today. But again, just adversaries to our abiding, and then absence, just absence from that time and absence from setting that time to meet with Jesus, to be with Jesus, right? There are these adversaries, because here's the deal, guys, the enemy does not want you to do this. He does not want you to. He does not want you to know the Word of God. He does not want you to come to Grow Track 3 from Grow Track 2 and take all that you've learned and actually apply it and begin to grow more. He does not want you to hear His voice. But if we do, we begin to understand and hear His voice more clearly than we ever have before when we abide in Him, when we abide in Jesus. Okay? So how do we master that? One, we avoid the adversaries. Number two is we make a commitment to abide. And guys, it's a commitment. And I'm telling you, Grow Track 3 is about commitment. It just is. You can come to this for the next 12 weeks and you can get notes and you're going to get great teaching from Pastor Talia. And you can take all this in, but if you don't make the commitments, you're going to miss out on what God really, really wants to do. And guess what? The commitments are going to cost some of us. I'm just warning you. And I'm raising my hand with you, okay? It's going to be stepping up a lot from Grow Track 2 to now. But it's going to be so incredible. It's going to be so worth it. Because whatever it costs you, guys, I promise you, will pale in comparison to what God's going to do over the next 12 weeks and in the future. Make sense? It's going to be good. It's going to be good. So make a commitment to abide. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Everybody say amen.
Amen,
amen, right? But painful. But then it says later on, we don't stop there, right? And that's good. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Trained by it. I love that idea of trained by it. When we abide in Him and we spend that extravagant time with Jesus, we're getting trained to hear His voice, trained to know His word, trained to have scripture in our hearts and in our minds that we can speak back to the enemy when he tempts us, when he attacks us, right? When he lies to us. We recognize the lies just as heavily as we recognize God's voice. We're like, I know that's a lie. I know that's the enemy. Sometimes when we're new believers or we're not spending that kind of time with God, we get confused and we're like, well, what's going on with that? But the more time we spend time with God, the more we even recognize those lies quickly and say, no, that's a lie from the enemy. This is what the scripture tells me, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to stand on it, right? Yeah, man.
Also, I found with my walk with Christ is abiding in Him also makes me hungrier for Him.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Growing and growing and growing and not caring when those, like I said, distractions come up. Like, I compare my walk now than it was a summer ago.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And
yeah.
Also, even with my, I've got a busy schedule now, but this is more important than my right. job, my school, my scuba diving, any of that.
Yeah. So, that's good, man. I love that. It builds a hunger inside of us, right? That's good. And I'll say this under commitment, you're as close to God as you want to be. I mean, just simply as that. Like, you are as close to God as you want to be. And my heart is that you just continue to grow with a passion and a desire to abide in Jesus and want to get closer to Him. Yes, ma'am.
For me, I think it's helping me have more character, more integrity, because I have to stop and think, what am I doing now?
Yeah.
This could be wrong. And if you think it might be wrong, don't do it till you find out. If you think it is good and it's Him, I just say, go with it. Jump in and do it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that too, because we learned a lot about that grow too, and I just see that that's still in you, and that you're still considering all that, and it's you've grown from that. That is so good. Yeah. If we're not growing, we're dying, right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, I'm excited. Pastor Talia. I call her Miss Talia. Yeah, I just try to stay on her good side, so every once in a while I call her Miss Talia. But we're honored to have her, and she's going to jump into this next part of the keys to abiding. So,
I just had the privilege of walking around, and I got to start and grow two, and go into grow one, and there are 84 plus people in grow one right now. That room is almost full in grow two. But what I want to say to you guys is as I step into grow three, I feel like I just came home. What I love is that this group's been together for, you guys have been together a year now. That's something to celebrate. And can I just say, there's a difference in here. There's a seasoning and a savory, there's a maturity. There's a difference. And that's not a knock towards the others. They're going to get there too. But it shows me that this is working. The fact that there is such a, there's a difference, there's a palpable difference in here than was even in the other rooms. And that's just because you guys are growing in the Lord. There is already fruit that I walk into. It's not growing fruit. There's already a harvest in here. And I just want to say I'm proud of you guys. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You still have a lot. We're all going to grow a lot more this semester. But just know that, man, I can see it. I can see it today. And so much to celebrate with what God's doing across this campus and in our church right now. I have the privilege of getting to teach you guys the infamous acrostic on, that's what we pastors do. We turn everything into an acrostic. So we just want you to remember it. But these are some very important keys to abiding. Pastor Stevens has already done a fantastic job at explaining the difference of just prayer versus abiding. Now I want to give you guys these keys, five keys to how to do it. Are you ready? Let's look at the A. The A is like Jesus. How about arrive at your certain place consistently? Arrive. Look at this scripture in Luke 11. I love it. It says, then he, who's he? Jesus right here. Then he was praying where? Oh, he's in a certain place. What does that imply? That he's been going there. What else? He's been there before. It's the same place consistently. Yeah, here we go. Look at Jesus. Then he was, what was he doing in a certain place? He's praying. So Jesus had a certain place where he prayed. Do you? That certain place. If by grow three, you're not there yet, we want to get you there quickly to establish that certain place and arrive consistently. But look at what happens. It says, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples come up to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. It's as if this disciples watched him day in and day out go to this certain place. And he said, all I can stand, he can't stand anymore. He wants Jesus to give him a secret, some secret tips on how he does what he does. And he runs up to him and asks, would you teach us how to pray? Right? I love that. But Jesus arrived. How much are you missing out on by simply not arriving consistently? What word did you miss? Oh, what word did you miss out on that day? What did Jesus want to say to you that you didn't hear? What character trait, flaw in you did he need to work on that didn't happen? And so you said something in a meeting you shouldn't have said. That never happens to me. All right? That is, hold on, that's way too much laughter. That's way too much laughter, all right? But what are you missing out on by not simply showing up? This morning, I did not feel like praying. Pin drop. I didn't want to. I told Jesus, I arrived at my certain place, but I sat in my chair with my coffee, and I told Jesus, I don't feel like praying. And you know what I felt like he said? It's because you need to listen. I said, oh. Really? So I didn't turn on my music. I didn't put earbuds in my ears. I didn't let my children talk to me. It was Jesus and I in silence. And as I sat there in silence, the chaos began to dissipate. And I began to see a few very key things that were really important I needed to pray about for today. He began to reveal to me what was on his heart. When you abide and you show up and you arrive consistently, that's just kind of what happens as a byproduct. It was Jesus's consistent time with the Father is where Jesus received all he needed, this is important, to be and do all he was sent to reveal and accomplish. It was in that certain place by arriving consistently. Please hear me tonight. It was in those moments that Jesus was infused with all of what God needed him to have so he could effectively carry out his mission. It says the key to being the person God has created you to be is to consistently arrive. Show up to your certain place and stay connected to him in such a way. This is what happens, that you begin to think as he thinks as a natural byproduct. You begin to feel what he feels about people and situations, and you're more easily able to live and act like Jesus. Makes sense, doesn't it? See, that's the key, though. And I just hate it when Christians don't, when they don't get this one. Because prayer can be sometimes cumbersome for me, but once I've established abiding, I look forward to it. I look forward to it. And so I would encourage you guys to pick that certain place and arrive. How about be aware of his presence throughout your day? 1 Thessalonians, it's not in your notes, but go ahead and write this one down. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul's telling the church in Thessalonica, he says, guys, you need to pray without ceasing. What does that not mean? Yeah, we would think they would think you're crazy, right? But Paul says pray without ceasing, so what does that mean? Always, but does that mean literally like 24/7 you're talking to Jesus? Okay, so I looked it up. You guys know me enough, I'm gonna look up the definition. Here's what it means. To pray without ceasing literally means, it doesn't mean nonstop. In fact, the definition immediately as I studied it does not mean nonstop. And I was like, okay, so what does it mean? Now listen, I want to hear Alyssa with your comment. It means constantly recurring.
We text each other through the day.
There you go. That's so good.
Sometimes when we get really busy, we don't text each other through the day. And then when he gets home, there's a little bit of a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's much more of a connection if we're communicating.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Through the day.
Absolutely. You know, I try to practice being aware of God's presence in my life because the reality is he's with us, and not acknowledging him throughout my day, it's kind of like if Alvin were and I were handcuffed together all through the day and we never like stop and talk to each other or acknowledge one another. How cold would that be, right? You begin to question the connection of our relationship, right? Do we even like each other? And we laugh and we joke, but you need to understand the spirit of the living God lives in you. He's with you always. He says forever until the end of the age. And so it's important to interact with him throughout the day and do not compartmentalize your time with God to a cup of coffee in the morning. Instead, it's this habitual abiding. It's just talking to him. Someone gives you a phone call and has a question and you don't know the answer. How about talk to the Lord about that? Do you know, incorporating him throughout the day. Pam, I saw your hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's so good. That's right. I love it. I hope you guys heard her. That's so good. So good. Let's look at the eye. When connecting to God, you ready for this one? Ignore all notifications and distractions. Can I give you a good scripture on this? Oh, I'm convicted. Anyone else convicted right now? Hebrews 12:2. Looking away from all. Say all.
All.
How much is all?
All.
All. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. We're looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. We're looking away from all that will distract, right, to Jesus. So can I challenge you, and I use my phone for my devotional time, I use it for my worship, is to put the moon on and treat your time with God and the interruptions as if you were on an intimate date with your husband or wife or best friend, and people keep interrupting you throughout. Like, you would not, that would not fly, would it? That would not fly. You would want that time to be you guys to talk and connect. You wouldn't want 25 people bombarding that conversation. What would happen to your date or your time with your other significant other?
You lose focus.
You lose focus, absolutely. Kills that connection that is so vital to continual growth. Renee, what were you going to say?
I needed this. I needed this in order to hear what God was saying to me, not that piece of equipment in my devotional. It's a book.
Yeah.
I gotta have the book, because if I don't have it, then I feel totally disconnected. It's like, it's not.
And this is, and she's not saying, "Thus saith the Lord," if you use your iPhone for your devotional, you are a sinner. But that is her conviction of what, and I know her enough to know she's a Bible study kind of person.
Yes.
And so I can see how that would have killed your Bible study.
Killed it.
And so you need to know yourself enough to know, are you a book person? Do you like to write and take notes?
Yes.
Can I challenge you?
Yes.
Like, those of you who are like me in that, I've tried the digital route too, and it was just yikes. And now I'm back to my pens and my stars and my stickers and the whole nine yards. I saw two hands. I am. But some people are the opposite of me, you know, and you're a virtual person and you got to have it virtually in front of you, and you like the illustrations and it talks to you and all this good stuff and you love it. Jeremy, and then someone else had their hand over here. I can so see you doing that. Absolutely. Need. The important thing is what distracts you.
Right.
What distracts you?
Right.
Let's not even talk about technology right now. Maybe it's your kids. It's true.
I have to go outside.
Yeah. Or lock them outside. Hey. Listen. When Victoria was little, I don't know if you guys remember me telling you the story. I need to shut up and move on. But when Victoria was little, she's still to this night. I cannot go check on her at night. Every stinking time I do, she wakes up. She is the lightest sleeper. Carter, I mean, I'm kissing him. I'm telling him how much I love him. I'm saying, "I love you, my little dudes." I mean, I'm moving him around. I reposition his entire body. He isn't waking up. But I go into Victoria's and I tiptoe and I barely move the blanket. And she's up, "Womp, what? I'm like, "Ugh!" Okay, she's always been like that. So when she was a baby, she would wake up easy. And we had hardwood floors and she was in one side of the house. The kitchen was in the center. And my coffee machine was a Tassimo. You guys remember Tassimos, or those Bosch machines? You remember mine? And it would make a cappuccino or a coffee and it would make this loud squeal. And I knew I cannot wake up in the morning early and have time with God in the kitchen. And I can't have time with Jesus without coffee. I have got a predicament. So you want to know what I did? Because I couldn't handle time with God with the distraction of the baby. Is I got a 4-cup coffee machine, a Mr. Coffee. Had this $200 machine in the kitchen I never used. I got a $19.99 Mr. Coffee in the bathroom, my master bathroom. Because I had a huge closet. I don't know if you remember the one on Augusta. And I would get up in the morning, I'd prep my coffee. I miss those days. I'd go in that closet and I'd sit there with my cup of coffee and God and I would connect in such a powerful way. We abided in that closet, stinky shoes and all. We abided in the closet, all right? But what I'm saying is you've got to have that kind of tenacity that you're willing to do whatever it takes to find that place, to arrive, to be aware of his presence, and to get in a place consistently that has no distractions so you can connect with him, right? D, develop. Develop a sacred rhythm. I want to make sure we focus on this word for just a moment, and it's rhythm. I don't like the word, well, I actually love routine, but when it comes to my time with God, I don't like to feel like it's just a routine. So I like the word rhythm. It's why we like to listen to certain songs. Certain songs you like for the key reason is because of its rhythm. There's a rhythm to music that makes it easy to enjoy. Right. So can I challenge you to find your rhythm? Okay? My rhythm does not mean I can have time with Jesus at night. I just can't. I'm going to fall asleep on him every time. I am tired. I've got too much going on. And I can't. Now, I love sometimes to listen to a few worship songs before I go to sleep. I love that. But as far as like my devotional time, I can't handle one more piece of information by the end of the day. So you've got to find your rhythm. And here's how you find it. When are you at your best? When are you protected from the most distractions? When are you more likely to arrive consistently? Answer those questions and begin to pave your way to that certain place. And Ian, finally, is to emit the fragrance of his presence wherever you go. John 12:1-3. That's just weird, isn't it? What? Emit his fragrance. That's kind of weird. Hold on. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Same guy. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. Listen, this is a good one. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Now listen. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So this woman's act of worship caused a lingering effect in the house. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that good? Chew on that. Selah, pause. Think about that for a moment. The house was filled with this expensive perfume, this nard, this expensive act of worship. Because of what she did, they all walked out of the house smelling like her perfume. When our Spanish pastor candidate, Edgar, and his wife, Nora, came, they wanted to go to some place that was authentically East Texas. We took them to Lufkin Barbecue. And I warned her, we couldn't have had a more East Texan waiter. I mean, she's talking like this that whole time. It was East Tech. It was Lufkin. And Pastor Jeremy and I are like, what did we do? No, I'm kidding. But we told her, I said, Nora, I just want to let you know, when you leave Lufkin Barbecue, you're going to smell like Lufkin Barbecue. I said, it's going to be in your hair. I said, just four more. You're going to enjoy it for the rest of the day. And so we go, sure enough, we walk out. We're getting in the car and she starts smelling her hair and it smelled like Lufkin Barbecue. And I said, see? The point is that aroma and the fragrance of what they do in there begins to absorb into your clothes, your skin, and your hair. And what Mary did that day had the same effect on the room. What she poured out affected everyone else. And in the same way, the fragrance of our worship should fill our homes, our workplaces, Grow 3, your ministry you're involved in. It should fill the atmosphere. I want people to come in my house and feel differently when they leave. Not because we're pastors, who gives a rip about that? But because of the fragrance of worship that's been in there. I always pray like, God, do you want that kind of relationship with Christ? That you so are used to marinating in his presence because you abide, that when you go anywhere, it changes the fragrance of the room because you entered with the fragrance of Christ all over you. Listen, Grow 3, that's possible for you. That's God's will for you. You're wondering about all these other things. What does God want? God wants you to be so saturated because this yucky world needs something that smells good. Look at this scripture as I close, Pastor Stephen. You can get ready. Acts 4:13 says, now when the men of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, listen, they saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John, and they grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained ordinary men. But listen, they were astounded and began to recognize what? That they had been with Jesus. There was something about them that was different, that being around them, they could see. And the last verse, look at this translation. It says that they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them. May we have that kind of impact on your family, right? Your grandchildren, your workplace. I'm telling you, it's available. It's there for the taking. But it's only as you learn to truly abide in Christ. Pastor Stephen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Talia. That's good stuff. Well, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to transition to kind of the end of this for tonight. But here's the deal. Here's another way that Grow Track 3 is a little bit different than Grow Track 1 and Grow Track 2. You know, Grow Track 1, there was a lot of teaching that you would sit under, and then Grow Track 2, you got in there, and there was good teaching, but it was a more facilitator approach, and we did a lot of group work. You remember that? We did a lot of, we're going to do a little bit of both of those in here. But what's special about Grow Track 3, too, is we're going to oftentimes, we're going to respond to what God has said. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to have some response time at our tables, right there by ourselves, and we're going to do that tonight. And obviously, what have you heard tonight? What's been the theme? It's been abiding, right? This idea of desiring to be with Jesus at such a consistency, such a level that, just as she read, that people could tell you have been with Jesus. Does that mean you're perfect? No. It doesn't mean that life's perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have tough days at work and the kids are going to drive us nuts, you know, and wake up at 5:30 a.m. and kind of change the directory of the day we thought how it was going to go. But there's this idea of being with Jesus in such a way that, man, we just radiate Jesus. We radiate that time that we've had with Jesus. And, you know, it's probably was said in Grow 1, I don't remember, but I know I've said it in Starting Point, that, you know, in Grow 1, Starting Point, we're encouraging people to just start spending time with Jesus. Just try it. Just start reading the Bible. Just start praying a little bit. You know, if you're on your way to work and you're just learning to pray, it's not always about what? It's not always about the quantity of time. It's more about the quality. Well, guys, in Grow 3, it's about both. It really is. It's about both. It's not about that anymore for you guys as Grow 3. And when we say it costs you something, some of you may be sitting here thinking the distractions, the excuses, the kids, the you name it, go down the list. But what do I have to rearrange? What do I have to stop doing and start doing so that I really can have some quality time with Jesus? Because that's what abiding is. It's all the acronym she just shared with you guys, developing that time to be with Jesus, spending time in his word, getting his word through you, praying the word of God, arriving at a specific place, a specific time to abide in him, being aware, as she said, ignoring, and for some of you, great if you can use the phone. I'm like you, Renee, I can't. I have to put it away, and I have to have just this. I just have to have this, or I get distracted. I just am, you know. Ooh, look, a squirrel. You know, it's just, that's just how I am. You know, I have to just, and it's got to be early for me. Some of you are night people. I'm like Pastor Talia. If I said it probably in other settings. If I do it at night, I just lay before the Lord, and I lay before the Lord. I mean, that's it. That's all that's going to happen. That's as far as it goes, right? But when I get up in the morning, right, and I get up, I have to get up early because of my kids. I've got one that's our littlest one. She's that same way. I got to beat her. And if I got to beat her before she gets up, I got to get up early. And but that's my time. But what's your time? And so what I want us to do is, Tommy, why don't you go ahead and turn that music on. He's going to turn some worship music on just real lightly. And in your notes there where it says faith in action, under number one, I put two questions there, and there's some lines underneath the questions. And I want you to take a few minutes, and I want you to just, there at your seat, pray and consider, what are the obstacles that are in my way right now from being deeply obedient to Jesus? What is keeping me from abiding in Jesus daily? What are those things? And so I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to give you a few minutes to just write those things down. You know what's cool about this, guys? Is in 12 weeks, you'll open that book back up. And my prayer is that you look back and say, look what I wrote down 12 weeks ago. Look what God helped me do. I was able to remove some of those things. Some of them were hard. But wow, look what I was able to do. Okay? So take a few minutes and just think about that. All right, guys, before you start packing things up and popping binders, let's do this, okay? It's okay. It's all right. Thank you for doing that. And if you're not done, I want you to take that home this week and look over it, pray over it. This is not going to be easy for a lot of us, okay? I promise you, if you commit to this, there's going to be an attack. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that are going to happen. But just below, under number two, I want to ask you to do this tonight too. We want you to commit to this. I'm telling you, you can come. I said it earlier. You can come and you can sit and you can get the notes and it's going to be good, okay? But you're not going to get as much out of this if you don't commit to abide in Jesus and practice this, all right? You know, and it may take you a week or so to get used to it, but if you'll commit to it and you'll practice this, God's going to show you things you've never seen before. You're going to experience some things you've never experienced before if you've not done this. Some of you maybe have mastered this and you practice this on a daily basis, and that's great. Keep doing it. But for a lot of us, maybe we haven't. And so there's two check boxes there, and my heart is that you would check both of them. That you would, number one, over the next 12 weeks, I commit to working at removing these obstacles. You notice I said to working at it, because it's not easy. It's not overnight for some of us, right? And some of it's literally, like school just started. I had to completely change the way I spend time with Jesus the mornings this year than I did last year, because my kids had to go to school 15 minutes earlier. It messed my whole schedule up, right? But that's okay. I just had to kind of adjust it. And does that mean I just spend less time with them? No, I don't want to do that. It just means I had to adjust it, right? So it takes some time. But I commit to working at removing these obstacles that keep me from abiding in Jesus. And then the second checkbox, I commit to spending extravagant time with Jesus over the next 12 weeks. If you will do that, I guarantee you it's going to be incredible. It really will be. And so what I want to do is I want to pray to kind of close, and then I'll have a few instructions for us, and then I'll let you go. But I want to pray for you guys, and then this week I want you to really look over those check boxes and consider that and commit to it, okay? But let's pray. And as we pray, I'm going to read a quote to you guys from a guy named Andrew Murray as we pray. It says, "'Tis only the abiding that can really satisfy the thirsty soul and give to drink of the rivers of pleasure that are at God's right hand.'" Listen to this line. "You did well to come. You do better to abide. Who would, after seeking the king's palace, be content to stand at the door when he is invited in to dwell in the king's presence and share with him in all the glory of his life?" God, I just pray for every person in this room. God, tonight we've talked about this idea of mastering the art of abiding. And God, this is what you want for all of us, Lord God. And God, why would we want to just stand at the door to your palace, God? Why would we want to do that? Why would we not want to go in and sit with you and dine with you and abide with you, God? And you invite us, you call us to do that every single day. God, I pray that every obstacle that has kept us from growing in our relationship with you by abiding in you, God, that we would be able to, we've identified some of those things. We've written them down. And I pray, God, that you would help us work at removing those obstacles, removing those things, God, so that we can abide in you. And God, I pray that over the next 12 weeks, God, that we would begin to hear stories of people in this room. God, you're going to do some amazing things. Some of it's not going to be easy. It's going to cost us some stuff. But God, I guarantee you, and I guarantee the ones sitting here tonight, that what it cost us will never compare to the blessings that will come from that obedience, that surrender, that full abiding in you, Jesus, saying, you know what? I'm no longer going to live for me. I'm going to completely surrender. I'm going to completely be obedient to what you have in my life. And God, I believe that there could be people in this room that are called into ministry this next 12 weeks. I believe that there could be people called to missions. I don't know. God, there could be people called to a completely different job. There could be people in this room called to do more here on this campus at Timber Creek, called to go to Nacogdoches, called to go to future campuses, called to teach in Grow Track. I don't know, God. But whatever it costs us, God, it's worth it because you have so much more for us, God. And I know that if we will abide in you and spend that time with you, God, you're going to show us some incredible, incredible things. And so, Lord, I pray over every person in this class, God, that as they read, as they pray, as they abide this week, God, that you would begin to do something special in our lives and in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
So I just wanted to,
that's good.
It's like,
perfect. Yeah.
This is preaching.
Yeah. That is. That's perfect. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, because it's so true. Some of you guys, that pruning, again, it's sometimes it's good stuff so that you can have greater. You know what I mean? So thank you for sharing that. Just one more thing, too. The Bible reading plan that you were given that. Hey, this one's more thematic in the sense that it fits. These are people you're going to read about in God's Word that walk through surrender and trust and obedience. We wanted you to read these specific people in God's Word because that's what we want for you. We want to see that God teaches us how to surrender, trust, and be obedient. And so as you read that each week, just like you did in Grow Track 2 and 1, just know that, and we encourage you. Use the SOAP method as you're reading these scriptures. And so be reading it. Use that in your time when you're abiding with Jesus. Read these various scriptures. Do the SOAP method. And we want to encourage you guys to continue to select a scripture to memorize this week, each and every week. Maybe from one of these passages that you're going to read, right? Find it, memorize it. God's going to use that in incredible ways. And so thank you guys for being patient with us. A lot of information we wanted to get to you, but we're excited. So excited, and can't wait to hear what God's going to do. You guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday, okay?